Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our weekly Under the Radar podcast, the best Under the Radar podcast featuring a puppet in...
Ever, maybe, never, I don't know.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Slica and the puppet down below there, David Griggs. And this is Under the Radar. David, why don't you tell us, say, for people that are new to the show, what it means, what Under the Radar means?
Well, there's essentially one of the qualifiers or is that it's essentially the 22 regular single bid leagues. So there's 10 leagues that normally get more than one team into the NCAA tournament. That's the Power Five, the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac 12, plus the West Coast Conference, the Mountain West, although not recently, the Big East, the American, and I always forget one.
Now, we know the proper title is the Mountain West.
Yeah.
That's the Mountain West Conference sponsored by ConExpo, ConAg.
Right, yeah.
The other qualifier, David, is being in the top 25, which has not happened this season and may not happen this season.
So. Correct, yes. So probably won't, given especially what's going on right now.
What we do in this show is we go through all 22 of these conferences. We're going to discuss what's happened in the past week, what's upcoming the next week, kind of like still keep an eye towards who do we think is going to make the NCAA tournament. We'll probably discuss a little bit of that as we go forward as well. But we do like to start off with a feature conference every week, which I choose.
Yes.
Now, for those of you that follow the site, every day, Mr. Slica does an under-the-radar game of the day.
I know which conference this is.
And yeah. On top of that, David Griggs does a write-up of every single game of note that's going to be happening on any given day. And I was reading them today. I was so excited because one of our favorite rivalries among the under-the-radar conferences was happening today. And I wanted to see Slica's write-out of it as the under-the-radar game of the day.
But Forget about it.
He went with Lafayette and Colgate, which was a good choice. I can't argue with it. Then I went through David's write up of the day, and the game wasn't mentioned again. So there was a massive fail by the two of you. So to save our entire website, the starting conference tonight, the feature conference, is the Mighty Northeast Conference, featuring tonight's Battle of Brooklyn between LIU and SFBK.
But to be fair,
this is a new rivalry here between the Sharks of Long Island and St. Francis Brooklyn.
No, they're the Blackbirds.
I don't give a damn what their official name is. But, yeah, another thriller, another rocking game, another really great night. They're all great nights in the in the Northeast Conference. Even Central Connecticut kept it within sort of arm's length against Sacred Heart. Let's talk about this, like the Battle of Brooklyn in a Northeast-based conference with, like, sort of grimy, gritty fan bases and players. This is perhaps the signature rivalry in a conference full of rivalries, albeit by under-the-radar standards, and another good addition tonight.
Yeah, it was a fun one. That's actually, St. Francis was up double digits most of the first half. LIU came back and started building a lead. St. Francis came back and tied it up again, and in the end, LIU was able to pull it out. But it's just always such a fun game between these two teams. They will play one more time, at least one more time this season.
One more time. Yeah,
they could be in the conference tournament as well.
And I think to ESPNU's credit, they did televise St. Francis tonight, but they just got the wrong St. Francis in their TV lineup.
Bizarre 5 p.m. start today to St. SFP. Well, I guess St. Francis U is what they like to be called. But what was going on with that? I'm sure there was a reason for it.
To get on national TV, probably, David, quite honestly.
Yeah. And Robert Morris
Robert Morris is now out to a 4-0 start. They're in first place. They actually were off tonight. Merrimack with another win tonight. Net to move.
Yeah, how about one. That? Yeah.
You see, they're highlighted in red here where we've got our standings and all the various metrics and ratings. You don't see anything very good in the metrics of this conference, obviously. But Merrimack ineligible for the NCAA tournament. That's why they're in red there.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's going to be Bobby Moe versus SFPA so far. Slica, is that what this conference is looking like to you?
They're going to be the top two teams right here. So naturally, I'm looking at a spoiler like Sacred Heart to potentially crash the party.
David, let's take a look at the upcoming schedule in the Northeast Conference also here. And before, I wanted to discuss one more team, but let's take a look at this first of all here. We've got Robert Morris hosting Merrimack in an interesting game, and then hosting Sacred Heart, Sleeka's spoiler team, on Monday. I think these are afternoon games on Monday also, with that being Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, and it should be – oh, are they? I didn't realize that. Yeah. But, the Merrimack-Robert Morris game was interesting because Merrimack, while they're not eligible for the NIT or NCAA, the CIT would be a – that would be a fantastic tournament for a first-year transitional team to be able to play in. And they're actually on pace to hit it, doing really well. Unless, of course – well, I'll get off this in a minute, but just a thought – has anybody ever tried to get a waiver for a transitional team? That never happened.
It has happened, David, and we got denied when we tried it with Lopes. Okay, but I want to talk about the bottom team here for a very brief moment, Central Connecticut. The sole remaining team in Division I without a D1 win at this point. And look at some of these numbers here, including dead last in our own colleague Joe B. Fortson's JNG ratings.
Yeah.
We give it out an award at the end of every season. It's the worst team in Division One. It's called the Centenary Award. Stalika, is this our front runner?
They are going to be one of the front runners this year.
Without a win.
Have to look at a team like a High Point, for example, that's going to be another contender that we'll get to later tonight.
I'll tell you what, I want to put Central Connecticut up on the right-hand side here. We're going to go pull their profile up and – you know, we're really getting into things now. We're pulling up the profile of last place teams in the Northeast Conference here. Look at all those losses. They did beat non-D1 Connecticut College.
They have that win.
I see two chances here, David. I see a home game with Wagner and a home game with Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, just one win can cost you the Centenary. We've seen it happen before. Where one single win eliminated a team.
Right.
Is there enough Tier 4 losses there? I mean, compared to some of the other ones.
They have a big Tier 4 loss if you look at the game against Maine back on December 7th. So I give them points for that.
Yeah. They've got multiple home Tier 4 losses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. That's this is Centenary caliber, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is. I think they're definitely in the discussion.
I guess on that note, let's turn around and go back to the rest of the conferences in alphabetical order, starting things off in the America East, where let's find some scores here. Albany and Hartford now both after 3-0 starts. Albany, I believe, had an overtime win over New Hampshire tonight and gave that New Hampshire actually completely choked away in overtime. They turned the ball over with up a point with under about 5 seconds left in the overtime. It was a really bad loss by New Hampshire there.
I'm still not as big on either of them as I am on the two teams that are right behind them, Vermont and Stony Brook. One of the things that those two teams have done is that they've played each other. I know that we were real big on Vermont, and talent-wise, they're probably still the best team, and they might end up showing it. But Stony Brook showing us a lot as well, despite having a loss in league play. I kind of like what they're doing, too.
Well, I was very impressed with what Vermont did this week, going on the road and blowing out UMBC and Binghamton. Not that they're great teams, but the way they just handled them, I think maybe Vermont is turning the corner and going to get their season back on track, and I think at the end of the day, they're going to run away with this conference.
Yeah, and you could be right, Chad. I mean, I think that they went to Virginia, and that got them a lot of attention, and it may have caused people to think that they were better than they actually were, because Virginia, not as good as anybody thought they were. Tony's on the hot seat, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I think they still have, I think, more pieces than anybody else, despite how well Stony Brook is playing.
Vermont, a home game is Hartford, a road trip up to Maine coming up this week. Stony Brook hosting Albany and Binghamton, pretty much.
I think we also look at the Hartford team right here. You already mentioned the game in Vermont, and then they get the game at home against UMBC. So we'll see if Howie the Hawk is for real.
Yeah.
Stalika, the Atlantic Sun Conference features one of the best under-the-radar teams, and 18-1 overall now, Liberty, as they are – Starting to look like they're going to roll through this conference. A bit of a struggle with North Alabama, but not a serious one.
It they'll still roll through this conference, so they'll probably have at least a decent shot to crack the rankings right here. Could we possibly see a situation like, I forget the year where Murray State actually made it to the top 10, but ended up getting a number 8 seed in the NCAA tournament that year?
I think they got a 6. To answer your question, that Murray State team had, I think, 3 or 4 wins against top 50 teams, or they won an exempt tournament, whereas this Liberty team is going to have almost no wins against the top 200. I think they're more like the Murray State team from a few years ago that was 28-4, but only had 4 top 200 wins that was left out.
Well, Liberty has Thursday off. There's always one team with 9 teams in the conference. Always one team with the day off.
Saturday, that team won at Memphis, by the way. That was a good Murray State team. Won at UAB. Yeah.
Saturday, we see a game in this conference that was a great game last season. It's not going to be quite as good this season. No, Lipscomb at Liberty. Lipscomb was very good last year. They have not been nearly to that level this season. David, over the Big Sky Conference. Suddenly, Montana is reasserting themselves after a little bit of a toast up against a non-D1 opponent earlier in the season.
Yeah, against the Ore Diggers, our favorite team. But, and boy, does that speak volumes for this conference, that a team that lost to the Ore Diggers is at the head of it. How about this Southern Utah team, though, Chad? A former Centenary Award winner in at least in the loss column, 3-way tie for first place, and looking not so bad themselves.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a team to keep an eye on. Northern Colorado, keep an eye on them as well. They've been actually, I still think Northern Colorado may be a better team than Montana, but when you have, just by the way the schedule's worked out, they played 2 more games and won them both. Montana kind of has the edge at the moment there.
Montana, no trouble this week. They have Idaho.
Yeah, Idaho is not good, although they've played a little better lately than they did early this season. John, how about the Big South Conference, which has given us a lot of entertainment the last few years here with a lot of very close standings? Maybe not quite that point yet.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe we might get there.
Well, my initial inclination would be to think, okay, we're looking at a potential 2-team race between Radford and Winthrop, but Presbyterian is still hanging around thanks to their win over High Point on Saturday.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, Presbyterian, a team that has been one of the worst teams in D1 for years. After the 3-0 start, David. They have 4 D1 wins. They have all come in conference.
Yeah, and you keep waiting for that to decline. Live action here, 3-2-1. We've got overtime in the Southland. No, we don't. We have it. Never mind. We'll get to the Southland.
Okay. We're not talking Southland hoops. We're talking Big South hoops. Stalika, what are you looking forward to this week when we've got games Thursday, Saturday, and Monday?
Winthrop going to Hampton could potentially put the Pirates not into first place, but at least within a game of first place, depending on what Radford and Presbyterian are going to be doing this weekend.
Yeah, but I'm circling this game Monday, though. If it could be a battle of 2 teams that are undefeated in conference when Winthrop is at Radford coming up on Monday. Again, I think we're seeing the extra games here again because of Martin Luther King Day. They're squeezing some extra games in on Monday when the kids don't have classes.
Right.
Big West Conference conference has just been so disappointing this year. I don't know what to say.
Again, and it was like that. I thought it was back last year when we saw how good the Eaters were. It has kind of declined. A lot of the teams that we thought would be good have struggled, particularly Santa Barbara. I still think that they're the overall best team. But the fact that Riverside is on top of the league with a sub-200 net and RPI is just kind of goes to show you how weak it is. Now we're only 2 games in, but if Santa, I mean, if anybody
look at these overall records, I mean, so many sub-500 teams, even UC Irvine, who we thought was going to be good, not only 9-8 overall. Santa Barbara's 12-5 record is with the 337 strength of schedule nationally.
Yeah. Riverside's 12-6 are even more ghastly.
Yeah. Riverside 343 strength of schedule. So even the teams with the good records have played garbage competition. That's why they're the good records.
Yeah, just kind of a down year in the Big West. After a year last year it was pretty exciting, and we kind of thought the conference was coming back. Traditionally, this is A conference that lands generally between the 12 and the 14 line, not this year, not looking like it.
Well, Salika, if Riverside and Irvine both win their games Wednesday and Thursday, Riverside at Irvine in the Rivervine Cup on Saturday for the under-the-radar game of the day.
So we do get a little bit of a saving grace right there, and then I think this is also the black and blue rivalry that Rocco was mentioning coming up next Wednesday with Irvine going to Long Beach State.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's a good. That's one. That's probably the best rivalry in this conference.
Yeah.
Who am I up to now, David? I'm up to you in Colonial.
Yeah, the Colonial. How about Bill and Mary?
I'm a
loving
believer
Bill
now.
And Mary right now.
I'm a believer now, especially with what they did. It was a home game, but what they did over the weekend, beating College of Charleston, I'm sold.
I think so too. And one of the things about Bill and Mary is they're so good at setting high ball screens and shooting from the outside and creating outside shots. They're not. Their Achilles heel, if they have one, is against quick and athletic teams. The thing is, look at this conference and show me a quick athletic team. Bill and Mary, who has a history of sometimes losing games that you would expect them to win, might be the best overall team in the league. And this is a team that I think we were thinking was going to finish much closer to the bottom than the top. But, I mean, you've watched them play. They've got 2 7-footers, or if they're not both 7 feet, they're both really tall. One of the guys can really shoot from outside. I'm forgetting his live television here. But, I mean, they've got a good squad. They're fun to watch. You really need to get Flow Hoops if you don't have it so you can watch them.
Upcoming schedule.
Is it Flow Hoops that they're on?
Yes. Yeah. All the Colonial games of the season are on Flow Hoops. All the way up until, I think, the championship game of the conference tournament. Bill and Mary are a road trip to Delaware, who has kind of started to fall apart once conference play started, and Drexel is their second game this week.
And then one other footnote to the conference this weekend. There was one dismissal with, I think it's C.B. McGrath being let go from UNC Wilmington.
Yes, John, thanks. Yeah, UNC Wilmington did get rid of their head coach, C.B. McGrath. They have an interim coach in there for the rest of the season. It's been this Wilmington team a few years ago is among the top teams in the conference. That they've really turned around in the wrong way.
And that was also a UNC Wilmington team with Kevin Keats in charge. So quite the downfall.
Yeah.
Huge nosedive.
One other game of note Saturday, Hofstra College of Charleston is a big one between two teams that are right up there at the tops of the standings.
Yeah.
John, Conference USA time, where we saw a bit of a shocker with Louisiana Tech losing to San Antonio last week. We're around the air, and suddenly, who's in first place?
The 49ers of Charlotte here, who I don't think have been to the tournament ever since they initially left Conference USA a couple years after their 2004 team got into the tournament here.
Go ahead.
They never made it when they were in the Atlantic 10. That much is certain.
David, I don't think we've said the word Charlotte all year on any of our podcasts.
Maybe not this year. We have talked about them in the past.
Yeah,
because you may recall it was a tournament site.
Yes. I don't think this is for real. I think this is just a matter of their schedule so far. But good for the 49ers have their day in the sun, right?
Yeah. So because of the idiot bracketologists who do present day, I guess Charlotte's their team.
I've seen some picks of Charlotte in for tournament spots there. Yeah. They are playing at Marshall and at Western Kentucky, and then at Old Dominion, 3 road games in a row. I think they'll be 3-3 next week. Louisiana Tech, who I still really like, has Rice this week and North Texas.
But even Marshall has been slowly but steadily improving, so that's hardly a game I'd be taking for granted if I were Charlotte here.
David, in the Horizon League, Wright State did suffer the loss to UIC, a bit of a shocker there, but I still think they're a pretty good team.
They are. It was a bit of a shocker, but Wright State hadn't exactly been burying teams. They've been winning a lot of games. They have a lot of winnable, obviously everybody in the conference, but it was kind of a bit of a they've shown that they can be beaten. I'll put it that way.
And
now, if you want to talk about burying a team, Northern Kentucky, they were sleepwalking for the first 4 minutes of their game at Illinois-Chicago, but then they go on a 30-0 run to effectively put that game away.
I missed that.
But Slick, I want to ask you about another team that I pulled up on the left side of the screen there. Sure, their profile's not that great, but they are 4-1 now in conference. They made a big run in the middle end of last season. Youngstown State, one of those many, many teams in the state of Ohio that's better than Xavier.
Yeah.
Well, even Cleveland State is better than Xavier if you go by tonight's results.
But what about this team? A pair of very close wins and selling their 4-1 now.
And they've already swept the road trip at IUPUI and Illinois-Chicago, which is something that Wright State couldn't even claim. They'd also get the sweep of Oakland and Detroit at home, so that's definitely going to help. So, ironically enough, that Cleveland State game is the only league game that the Penguins have lost so far, but they're going to have their biggest test of the year starting tomorrow night when they go to Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky to face off against the Norse and the Raiders.
If they can at least get a split of these of the two toughest road games in the conference, they're for real next week, David.
Yeah, I know. So, we shall see.
Go Penguins. Never made the NCAA tournament. Could be the year.
That could be a Hoops HD road trip tomorrow.
Really?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Fun. Moving on to the upcoming schedule here. As we mentioned, Youngstown at Northern Kentucky, and Wright State is hosting Cleveland State.
Yeah.
In their only game this week. Oh, no, they're also Youngstown on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's kind of a big one because, you know, that tournament's at a predetermined site.
Over in the Ivy League, John, we still only have two conference games that have been played. Princeton now picked up the sweep got the sweep of Penn.
Now they're just rubbing it in, every week.
I'm going to go real quick here to the upcoming schedule because Harvard and Yale did have solid non-conference schedules, and they'll both be playing a couple games this week. Yale will be hosting Brown, then they'll be at Howard in a non-conference game, Harvard hosting Dartmouth.
Yeah, so there will be a couple of rivalry pairings here with Brown-Yale, Dartmouth-Harvard, and Cornell-Columbia, but
those are the travel partners, and they will play again next week against each other at the opposite site before we finally get into the end of January and the real start of the Ivy League play.
But we also get a Big Five game for the Quakers hosting St. Joe's, but that shouldn't be too much of a problem for the Quakers this year.
Yeah. So Brown, I don't know if you know this, maybe we covered it, but Brown did win the Ocean State Tournament Championship.
Let's double check on that.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You see that? Like Brown, winners of the Ocean State Tournament this year.
Yeah, knocked off Bryant and Rhode Island, who had previously knocked off Providence. So congrats to the Brown Bears. And they may be in the NCAA tournament already.
Yeah, they might be. Because I mean, I don't know if that's an AQ conference or not.
John,
it's Metro more like an FA Cup.
Yeah.
John, Metro Atlantic, our good colleague Lee Del Vecchio, big Connecticut basketball fan, and he has a team now.
Well, he's actually got two teams in the Connecticut Six because we covered Hartford earlier, but now we have the Bobcats of Quinnipiac who get a couple big wins against Niagara and a little more so against Monmouth to help get into first place. But another surprising team in second place, and that's going to be Manhattan fresh off of a win against Siena, even with a loss at Fairfield.
Yeah, and Ryder suffering another loss. We like them a lot heading into this conference play, but the home loss actually to Iona. So starting to not like Ryder as much, David.
Yeah.
Was Iona's only win so far in conference play.
Yeah. Right. So, Iona really struggling. But like you said, a lot of off-the-court issues going on with them through no fault of their own. So.
Right. As far as Quinnipiac goes, they are at Manhattan in a big first place battle here Thursday, tomorrow night, a potential under the radar game of the day, Salika.
Well, maybe? I think I've already given you a hint of what my game is going to be for tomorrow.
Let's move on to the Mid-American Conference, where I saw a kind of surprising result here with Miami, Ohio, Salika, what you call Mother Miami, knocking off Kent State last night.
I wouldn't think it would be terribly surprising because Miami's had a few close contests right here, and you get the feeling that outside of a win at Wright State. Kent State has been kind of on cruise control, and they fall behind as much as 15 against the Red Hawks. And despite a late second half comeback, this one did catch up with the Golden Flashes here.
Let's talk about the Zips, Chad.
I want to pull the team sheet up, actually.
Yeah, pull the team sheet. But before you do that, it's on the team sheet. I wanted to, show the different rankings there. The J&G has them kind of low, but, really high in the net there. Top 40 RPI. You look at their overall profile, and the gaping thing that's missing is tier 1 and tier 2 wins. Some of those may be coming, but if they continue to hold serve, is this a team that's on the bubble, maybe in the bubble?
I'll tell you what, if they literally roll through this conference, you got to look at it because they'll have 3 losses on the season, all to NCAA tournament teams, all away from home, all to top half of tier 1 teams. So, they lost to 3 teams that most teams would lose to.
Yeah.
So, especially if they can get the sweep of Kent State, but this is such a difficult conference just to go undefeated in.
Well, it's not just Kent State you have to worry about. They still have to play Bowling Green and Buffalo twice, and those are not going to be trips to the beach either.
I'll tell you what, it's a little bit funny here, though, but if they were to lose at Kent State, versus they get 1 loss of conference and it's at Bowling Green or at Buffalo, I'd rather lose a game at Bowling Green or at Buffalo because the Kent State win gives you a top of tier 1 or tier 2 win. Mm-hmm. If you follow what I mean here, you're better off winning the tough game and losing one of the surprising games than the reverse, I think, especially when you're missing anything in the top 2 sections here. But they are on my – I think that they could get in there if they win out. I just don't see them winning out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, the upcoming games, Akron is hosting Toledo, and they've got to go to Miami, Ohio, where Kent State had all those problems this past week.
Right, yeah.
But, David, how about the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference? Take it away.
Okay, here we go. So, we talked about Akron having maybe a path to the bubble or inside the bubble. When you look at the MEAC here and you look at all the teams in there, you just don't see that.
Well, Norfolk State, we got a little computer problem here.
Okay.
Give me a second here. We're going to pull up.
Palatial Sherwood Estates.
Yeah. We went to Memphis for a minute there. Memphis is not under the radar. How about that? Are we back again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we're back now. Yeah.
Okay. So David, MEAC.
Norfolk and A&T, I think those are 2 of the teams that we kind of liked off to a good start. I still like this Cookman team a lot.
I'm with you there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I know that they have the loss already, but I think that they are one of the better teams, if not the best overall team in the conference. And I could see them making some noise. FAMU, since their big win at Iowa State, getting another one, didn't they?
They picked up a win against Morgan State on the road, if that counts.
It's a win.
There's the upcoming schedule. Games and non-conference game there. Yale at Howard on Monday.
In Eastern Shore, what are they doing? You got to keep your eye on Eastern Shore, another centenary candidate.
Mm. And Delaware State's a centenary candidate. Howard's a centenary candidate.
Yeah.
All these one-win teams.
Stalika,
Missouri Valley Conference, Northern Iowa had a struggle tonight, but they did pick up the
10-point
win over Valpo, so they do remain in first place. They're at least tied with Bradley.
Yeah, that's another going to be instance of a survive and advance, and they'll remain in a first-place tie with Bradley, who also got wins against Southern Illinois and also Missouri State. But I think the question I have to ask is, what were the media and coaches thinking voting the Bears first place preseason, though, because I am not seeing it from Missouri State this year.
Missouri State. David, let's just go right to the upcoming schedule of the MVC here. Northern Iowa's tests for the next week are going to be at Bradley in a big first-place battle, and then at Southern
Illinois. And they need to bring it. They have not been bringing it. They're 4-1. The game they lost, I think it was their conference opener, so they won 4 straight. But 3 of those they kind of had to sweat, including tonight. And you are talking about sub-NIT caliber teams. I want to like this Northern Iowa team. I want to say that they're inside the bubble. They certainly looked it through much of November and December, but they need to start playing. Because how many more strikes would you say they have? I would say almost none.
Yeah, almost none. Salika, you want to discuss Indiana State for some reason?
Well, Indiana State, they're kind of a sneaky team themselves that also got a pair of wins to get up to 3-2. And this was also a team that probably gave Dayton their toughest test at UD Arena this year and also got a win at Wright State back in December. So some teams like Valpo or Loyola Chicago, I can't be sleeping on the trees here.
Let's jump over to the Ohio Valley Conference.
Just one more thing real quick. Yeah. Evansville 0-5, continuing to just sink that Kentucky profile.
Ohio Valley Conference, we're starting to see things look a little bit more like normal here with Murray State, Austin Peay, and Belmont as the top three teams, or at least two of the top three teams there. I guess there's a bunch of 3-1 teams here as well. But I guess we are also seeing a lot of teams that are winning games, you know, and I don't know. I think the conference is still wide open at the moment.
It is. Well, I mean, it appears that way now, and you see sort of a logjam there between 1-6, just one game separating them. But you also have to kind of look at the way the schedule worked this year. I think Belmont has already played 4 road games, and you got a team like Eastern Kentucky and Morehead State, both 3-1, but they, as the travel partners work, they've played 4 at home. So, like, you know, they have 9 of their remaining 14 games or 15 games are all going to be on the road, and they're going to be against, it was a backloaded schedule. So I think you're going to see more separation between the likes of Belmont and Murray State and then some of the other teams that are right on their heels as the conference plays out more. Odd scheduling, wouldn't you say, like for the league to do that, to have 4, you know, to have that many teams playing 4 straight home games and then 4 straight road games.
Yeah, it is a little strange.
We'll see just how for real Eastern and Morehead both are, because they're going to be going to Nashville to face off against both Belmont and Tennessee State this weekend.
Yeah, good point there. Murray State with a couple of road games, I believe, at Tennessee Martin and SEMO. Austin Peay, same road trip.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to turn to the Patriot League now, and on a serious and very sad note here, we're going to, send our best wishes out to the Holy Cross family there, the tragic accident involving their crew team and a bus accident. One of them passed away. The accident was awful today.
Right. It wasn't the men's basketball team, but I mean, it's going to shake that athletic department and all of the student athletes. Holy Cross, not a large institution, and it's a pretty tight-knit athletic department and really campus as a whole, and you just hated to see just such a tragedy, and it was just an accident. I believe a bus went off the road.
The bus went off the road. Horrible, though. Their men's basketball game tonight against Army was postponed. They're going to play tomorrow afternoon, but it's, so our best wishes out to the Holy Cross family. Turning to what's going on the court, though, we had a real interesting day in the 3 games that were played, starting with this afternoon's game, Stalika, with Lafayette at Colgate, where Colgate suffers their first loss of the season in conference play in almost surprising fashion.
Yeah, this was actually an 11 a.m. tip-off because it was one of those field trip games where you actually get more kids in attendance, but certainly a nice win for Lafayette, who's been quietly poking around 500 and now get within a game of both Colgate and BU here.
BU with a dominating win Monday night over Loyola in the most important game that was played Monday night in all of college athletics. But also this game tonight, American and Bucknell, I don't know if either of you caught it, but Bucknell had a 2-point lead. American had the ball, got the shot off at the buzzer for 3, hit it. It was an incredible buzzer beating victory by American. So Connor Nelson hit that shot for American. So congrats to
this was a Bucknell team that was, again, in that hunt for first place and had been playing well. So it kind of knocked them down a peg.
Upcoming schedule as we mentioned, that Army Holy Cross game will be on Thursday now. The rest, as far as Colgate goes, they'll be hosting BU on Saturday, coming off that big win, and then hosting Bucknell. So an interesting week for Colgate, actually, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I really like this Colgate team. I was kind of surprised that they lost the one game that they have. But I do think it's their league to win.
Salika, the Southern Conference. Where do you want to start? Nobody left undefeated as the final team to lose a game in conference play. Western Carolina fell to Furman tonight.
Well, Western Kentucky did have a much easier schedule compared Carolina. To the other Carolina. Three suspects here.
Yeah.
But by the same token, at least they looked okay against, who was it, Furman tonight?
Yeah, they were in the game, road, definitely.
But in this case, Furman, their missed opportunity actually came at home against Greensboro, but a good rebound win for the Paladins. But by the same token, UNC Greensboro also needed to stay in the hunt themselves after tanking the last week in the closing seconds against East Tennessee State.
Yeah, and Greensboro was not dominant over the Citadel tonight at all. That game was close the whole way, David. And
yeah, it was very surprising that they would struggle like that against the Citadel, who's quite frankly terrible. And East Tennessee, recently losing the VMI, or not losing, but only winning
struggled
by
with
about,
VMI. Yeah.
So, I mean, some of the teams that we thought that would sort of be the dominant teams have struggled against the bottom of the league.
Yeah, and they really can't afford to lose to anybody other than themselves here, these
right,
top
yeah.
teams. As far as the upcoming schedule now, let's take a look at all three of them. East Tennessee State has the game at Western Carolina. Greensboro hosting Chattanooga. Furman's at Wofford. So, again, these are the games that these teams have to win, but these are not easy games to win by any means.
No, they're not.
But I think we're also seeing not just separation towards the top, but also separation at the bottom, because there's only like one win aggregate between Mercer, Citadel, and VMI. But that's going to change this weekend with the Citadel-VMI rivalry taking shape.
Yeah, but the spoilers are going to be these Chattanooga, Wofford, Samford, Western Carolina. Those four are the teams that are going to mess things up for somebody here, I think.
I agree. Like, as good as East Tennessee State and Furman are, they have not been burying the league like we thought they would.
Exactly. David, Southland Conference. Last week, while we recorded the show, we watched Stephen F. Austin lose a home game to Corpus Christi.
Yes.
Tonight, they pulled out a win by 1 point over Central Arkansas, who's
ranked 3rd. Central Arkansas, yet another one of the many sub-300 teams. I think that's about half the conference. They were on the road it was close the whole way. And when I say close, I mean within 5 points the whole way. Central Arkansas tied the game with less than 10 seconds to go, and SFA kind of getting bailed out. It looked like it was going in the overtime, and a late whistle, the whistle blew after the horn had sounded, sent SFA for the line where they made one of two and got the 1 point win against, what are they in the rankings? It depends. They're either 326, 291, or 278. Not a good team to only beat by a point. What the hell happened? This is an SFA team that was looking fantastic, that won at Duke, and that had looked the part up until that point, who has not looked the part in conference play, even though they're 5-1.
Yeah, they have struggled mightily. And now Abilene Christian tied with them in the loss column. That is your defending conference tournament champion. So,
right. And I mean, we support under-the-radar schools. That's why we do the show. And it might sound like we're beating up on SFA a little bit, but let me ask you a question. If this is a team that belongs inside the bubble, who else are we looking at? Like, I don't know, St. Louis, Temple, who else is in that range? Like, I forget, we just did a bracket, but do any of those teams lose to a sub 300 team and then win their next one only by one? Do any of them? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. But they still want a Duke, and it's so big. But SFA this week is hosting Incarnate Word and at Northwestern State. Hosting Incarnate Word, you know, strange fact about Incarnate Word. One of two teams in the city of San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio.
And they don't play each other.
What? They don't?
They don't play each other. They have never played each other at D1 level. Never.
They'll play Our Lady of the Lake.
Yeah. John, swag time, all you.
Yeah, I was going to say, Texas Southern, they get a nice win against their rival in Prairie View, so that at least puts them within a half a game of first place, and Grambling gets the win against Southern themselves. But I think Chad wanted to discuss Southern's big win against Jackson State on Monday, where they have an afternoon celebration, and everyone in Baton Rouge down to New Orleans was celebrating.
I'll tell you, New Orleans was insane. Ooh. Monday night after Southern beat Jackson State. Absolutely insane. Yeah, I mean, imagine what it would have been like had Grambling also knocked off Alcorn State that night. But
yeah, you know. I mean, you posted some pictures. I could not believe like that place was going bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers down there in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans. Upcoming schedule this week, Grambling hosting Prairie View, kind of maybe a first place battle there. It's the SWAC.
Okay, I know that this is an era, but like, is State or A&M the home team?
That game's being played in Birmingham. It's actually so.
Oh, okay. Oh, so yeah, because I thought that they were doing that. It's more of a, well, it's an all sports rivalry, but Alabama State, all Alabama A&M, the Magic City Classic, probably not as known as the Bayou Classic, but still one of the bigger HBCU classics in football. They did move I don't know if they moved them both there this year or if they agreed to like move one there this year for A&M's home game and then State's there next year. I don't know, but they are moving to Birmingham. And this is going to sound weird. I think they're playing at the Civic Center, and they are expecting a crowd. They're trying to make this a showcase basketball game. I'm actually kind of for this, that they're doing this.
I'm not only was I impressed that I actually knew where the game was being played, but David, I'm even more impressed about what you just told us about the game. So yeah. There we go. You want to know about SWAC? You got to be watching this show.
Yeah.
Summit League. Stalika. South Dakota State beat North Dakota. North Dakota State beat South Dakota tonight. That was actually a pretty close, good game. And those two teams at Omaha are now in the top three of the league, right?
Yep, and the Jackrabbits also get a nice win at Fort Wayne on Saturday. So it does give them a little bit of an inside track post Mike Dom. And you look at North Dakota State, who actually went to the NCAA tournament last year, still hanging around themselves, but just – have played two fewer games than South Dakota State for whatever reason.
Yeah, that'll probably be made up as we move forward here. In fact, tomorrow night, Oral Roberts and Western Illinois will be playing. Then we move on to the weekend. The North Dakota rivalry there Saturday, the South Dakota rivalry Sunday, David.
Yep. You know, that one's. Those are always fun games mm-hmm. to watch.
Those are pretty good rivalries.
Yeah, and they'll—I mean, they'll be on. They'll either be on TV or they'll be streaming. You really should check them out. They're fun.
In the Sun Belt, David, this conference is just a jumbled mess of the standings. Although I still think Georgia State's the best team.
I agree with that, especially like after sort of the week that they had this past week. They don't always play up to their ceiling, but I do think that they have the highest ceiling out of the group. I'm with you on that. Little Rock, who we were kind of big on, kind of backtracked a little bit last week.
Yeah, they were 5-0 last week. They're 5-2 now. not too surprised about that either.
no, I don't think. Yeah, anybody really is.
Stalika, Georgia State has the road trip to South Alabama and Troy this week.
Yeah, both Georgia State and Georgia Southern are going to be making the Alabama swing this week, so that'll be one set of games to keep an eye on. Then you look at the Arkansas schools going to Coastal and App State.
I'm listening.
What?
He mentioned Appalachian State. Where is it?
The hot, hot, hot.
The hot, hot, hot Appalachian turn. State team.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, the Western Athletic Conference. And
yeah,
am really starting to like the way New Mexico State's playing. They squeezed by Kansas City, but it's not that awful of a Kansas City team. They rolled Chicago State, but I think it's time for them to start dominating this league.
Yeah, and I think they will. They're starting to get more and more healthy. We were expecting them to be a top 40, maybe 10, 9-ish seed caliber team this year. You got to keep in mind that while their profile won't be of that caliber, they're healthy and they're a little bit deeper, and their team very well could be. So if they end up on the 12 or 13, well, probably not the 12 line, but the 13 or 14 line, you better watch out if you're the better seeded team in that. Because, again, they what they're putting out on the floor now is essentially the team that lost to Auburn by one last year.
Yeah. Really good team. Upcoming this week, John, the Aggies are at Utah Valley, who is not that good. They're at Seattle. It's a tough road trip just because of the travel distances, but they go 2-0 this week?
Well, they should be able to go 2-0, and if you're looking at contenders, Seattle is going to be also hosting UTRGV, who's going to be a game behind New Mexico State as well. And if you want to keep tracking California Baptist in their second season, hosting a non-D1 game in Chicago State. So they should be 4-1 come next Wednesday.
So they're hosting two non-D1 games. We love Chicago State.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's move to our top 10 list.
All right.
This is our under the radar top 10 for January 15th, 2020. We have three honorable mentions: New Mexico State, who we just discussed, Kent State, and Western Carolina.
Getting some votes.
Okay. At number 10, we have William and Mary, who we talked about.
All right, cracking the rankings, Bill.
Cracking the ranking. Congrats to Bill and Mary. Yeah. At 9, we have Greensboro, one of those SoCon teams we just.
Yeah, they've slipped a little bit. Still good, but.
Right. Number 8, we've got Harvard coming in.
Ooh, the Crimson, yeah. I love the way they're playing, by the way. That is low, probably where they belong after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SFA at 7 now. They've got to start proving it to me. You know, even in the wins, they've got to prove it to me and dominate teams to get back up.
And I'll be honest with you, I did not have SFA in my top 10 this week because they were actually losing at Central Arkansas when we had.
Yeah, well, I voted before the Central Arkansas game.
Akron coming in at number 6.
I like that Akron team.
Moving up the standings here
earlier. Yeah.
And there's Furman, another SoCon team at 5.
Yeah.
Yale at all the way up at number 4.
All the way up to 4. Somebody really likes them.
Yeah, me really likes them. I think this is a very good Yale team.
Oh, they are. They are. Yeah.
That may only have one real tested conference with their road game at Harvard, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Although Harvard does coast the Ivy League tournament, so that's something to keep in mind as well.
Right.
At number 3, East Tennessee State, the top team in the SoCon.
Yep.
At number 2, Liberty.
Liberty.
Only one loss on the season.
Yeah, number 2. So you never know who number 1 is, but yeah, again, another team that we were sweating out that had to sweat out a win tonight, Northern Iowa.
I had a reverse. I think I'd have Liberty over Northern Iowa just the way the way they've been dominating everybody. I respecting the overall record at least.
Yeah.
On that note, let's go ahead and pull this down here. Let's go to final thoughts, and Mr. Slika, take it away.
If anyone knows that how I've been doing in the email thread this year, I haven't been following football that much, but I do have to give a shout out to a North Dakota State who actually won their 8th FCS championship on Saturday after James Madison. They have as many FCS titles over the past, I think, decade as they do losses overall. So that's going to be kind of an incredible number to think about.
Yeah, and to think like it wasn't that long. They haven't been FCS for very long.
David, you know, the only final thought that I personally could come up with for the show is not really under the radar. Go take a look at what Geo Baker did in that slam against Indiana State. But David, the most insane slam, I think, of the season.
Probably so.
But David, final thoughts to end the show.
It's kind of, you know, in looking at the top 10, so it seems like that there's always like 4 or 5 teams that you think could land inside the bubble, and that's always exciting. But then there's, you know, a smattering more that you're like, this is a team that if they get there, maybe they're not inside the bubble, but they can win a game in the round of 64. I think this year we're running sadly low on even those. And you just kind of wonder what happened to the top tier under the radar schools. Is this an anomaly, or are we kind of going in a direction where – you know, it's we might not will any of these teams get to the round of 32? Last year we had the Eaters, we had Buffalo, although they were a top 25 team. We had Wofford, we had quite a few. we might sort of get a knee-jerk reaction to where it's only one or two or maybe none this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's regressed from, you know, Loyola Chicago being in the
Liberty,
Final Four.
Liberty, another one. I didn't mean to, yeah, didn't mean to leave them out. Sorry, cut you off, but yeah.
I guess on that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back. We'll be recording tomorrow night. We'll be doing another bracket rundown show. We've got lots more content. And later on in the season, hopefully, David, John, we started the show off by talking about the Northeast Conference. When the Battle of Brooklyn comes around again, they are going to be playing the second round of that. Maybe the under the radar game of the day. David, at least in your column, we can't have this type of stuff going on in this show again.
Right.
February 18th, mark your calendar.
It should have been a spotlight game. It really should have been.
It really should have been February 18th, because we can't feature them again. That's our only chance we have to feature them.
Yeah.
But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon.